Hiroshima.
Hey guys, it's me, Lucas Wilson, your host with your other host,
Dave Halstead,
here to bring you no U-turns at the drive-in. Today, we just watched The Lost World.
Shh, it's a silent film.
Yes, this is the 1925 black and white silent film, and not the Spielberg film from the 90s.
Which was the Jurassic Park sequel.
Yes, there's also been other movies of this. There was actually like a Sci-Fi Channel movie version.
Oh yeah, I'm sure this has been adapted many, many times.
Yeah.
Bother looking them up, so...
You can go on there.
We're just going to be judging this from a film, although we have seen the Jurassic Park sequel.
Yes. Who's going to say? It was
losing track, Lucas.
Based on, this is from a Arthur Conan Doyle book. Same name.
Yeah, the same guy who wrote the Sherlock Holmes books. This was his other popular character, The Adventures of Professor Challenger.
So he did other things?
Yeah, he did other books with that character.
Oh, that's cool.
And this was just one of the books in that series of The Adventures of Professor Challenger, which is an incredibly subtle name, if you ask.
He looked pretty crazy in the film.
Oh my gosh, you know, he was just this big bearded guy, right?
Yeah, looked like he'd fit in on the streets. So, it's Arthur Conan Doyle. But it was a screenplay, it was adapted by somebody else. It was directed by a guy named Harry Hoyt.
Very good.
Written by Marion Fairfax. Produced by some other dudes. And starring Bessie Love, Lewis Stone, Wallace Beery, Lloyd Hughes, and Alma Bennett.
Yes. A little bit of a plot synopsis, Lucas?
Well, what happens is Professor Challenger.
Of course.
Did he come from the expedition, or does he just know of?
I really don't know.
Well, so I'm going to
it was a silent film, and there were cue cards sort of explaining the plot, but there was, seemed like characters just jumped in that weren't like properly introduced or explaining what they were doing or why they were there.
Well, essentially, he claims that dinosaurs existed in the Amazon. People ridiculed him, but he's like, I'll prove to you. And so he leads an expedition of a reporter who,
after trying to choke said reporter several times.
Yeah, he
hilarious. It was the highlight of the film for me. It was just seeing him throttle that reporter. He's like, who are you, sir? The guy tells him his name, and he's like, yeah, I see. And what's your occupation? He goes, I'm a reporter. He's like, a reporter? Ah, I get you.
Chased him out of the house. Yeah.
Just jumps off the stage where he's been hosting this whole, I'm going to show everybody how smart I am. And go off and lead this exposition to find live dinosaurs. Who's with me? A reporter from the magazine who criticized him. He leaps off the stage and starts choking him.
I don't think he criticized him. He wanted to go on the expedition with him. So he, because his like,
the paper he worked for criticized him.
Okay. Well, yes. But it was just funny that the guy wanted to go on this adventure, not because of like the dinosaurs or anything, but because it would contain danger. And that's the only way his fiance would marry him, is if he faced danger.
Yes. The exact quote is, the guy says, she will only marry me after I've faced death. So I just picture a conversation. It was like, baby, will you marry me? Go face death. All right. I will.
But then he immediately forgets that he ever had any kind of relationship with that woman and decides he's going to marry
back on the dead professor's dog.
Yeah, there was a guy who went with his daughter and a whole bunch of other dudes, and once his team saw the dinosaurs, they abandoned him and ran off with his daughter.
Because spoilers, they actually find dinosaurs in the Amazon.
Yes.
Just go with it, people.
And then, so yeah, Challenger's assembling a team to go visit. So it's like this guy with lots of money, the daughter of the missing dude and the reporter, and then some miscellaneous characters.
Because there was a missing dude who was on the first expedition where they discovered this, but they couldn't prove anything.
Yeah. So.
And this is the return expedition / rescue mission, possibly, if the guy's still alive.
Which he wasn't. Pile of bones. Nope. Probably eaten by a monkey man.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's great.
So they find the dinosaurs. They watch them do dinosaur things. They shoot at the dinosaurs.
Yeah, a large part of this film was just showcasing the special effects, the stop motion animation with the dinosaurs.
Yeah, pretty much. And then all the scenes that are missing are all that too.
Yeah. Yeah, this was a sort of a restored or recovered film that was a bit lost itself. Yeah. We lost the lost world.
Fitting.
Interesting conversation.
Yes.
I found the lost world. Well, most of it.
Yeah, there was several different like versions. And the original one was like 106 minutes, but this one was like 93. Because for some reason, they won't add in the other scenes except as extras on like DVDs.
Well, certainly not worried about making the plot incoherent.
It was a very simple plot.
Yeah.
You could follow it like, you know, they get stranded on the plateau because a brontosaurus picks up
their... silent movies, the plots didn't get too involved. I mean, well, that's not necessarily true. I shouldn't say that.
Some of them were
pretty... I guess you'd say your average silent film, simple plot and a lot of acting, you know, expressive. Especially close-ups on their faces.
They got pretty advanced right up until...
Like that girl. That girl kept showing just... close-ups of her reactions to things.
Yeah, she was kind of the emotional gauge as to how much danger they were in. Was you know, using her face to show you.
Now I can face see, of fear.
Now I can see how in other films have like drawn on this, the whole, like, you know, you're talking about King Kong.
Yeah, Kong just takes everything from this movie, although I think King Kong is immensely better.
It I can see it, like, you know, expedition to the jungle, find lost world full of creatures, take big monster back, and then he escapes. Except they elaborated on the escaping monster more than in this one, where he just...
Yeah, the brontosaurus they bring back to London kind of just walks over the London Bridge. If the bridge breaks, it falls into the water and drowns.
Yeah.
No, the army isn't called up to kill this thing. It just stumbles around for a while and drowns in the Thames.
Yeah. And then I could see the parallels in Spielberg's Lost World where they...
Oh, they bring the T-Rex back.
Yeah, where they bring the T-Rex back.
Much better choice.
A little more exciting.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And there's probably other movies out there that kind of...
Yeah, but for would-be explorers out there, if you do go out into the middle of some unexplored territory and find a dinosaur, do not bring it back. Leave it there.
Take lots of pictures, but don't take any souvenirs.
Yeah, it's one of the, it's like science fiction always has that sort of like warning, sort of ethical message to it, you know?
Yeah, don't
mess around with things. They'll bite back.
What are the things that,
especially the dinosaurs.
There's lots of stories where it's like, it's clearly like you should probably not take that, but they take it anyway, and then it just causes problems.
Right.
Like, what are the movies?
You know, Jurassic Park, the whole thing where it's like, you can't bring back dinosaurs with their DNA, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, what have we done? It's eating Samuel Jackson. Just an arm now. But that arm will carry on and star in many more films.
That arm freaked me out as a kid.
Really?
It did, yeah. I'm not gonna lie, yeah. Actually, the very... When I was a kid, when I was first watching Jurassic Park, like, that movie really scared me.
I remember the raptors scared me.
Yeah, those were really scary. Yeah, the raptors were pretty frightening. Although
the raptors were kind of sneaky.
Yeah. I eventually, like, you know, kind of quickly got over my fear. I became a huge fan as a kid of the Jurassic Park.
I don't ever remember being that scared of Jurassic Park.
It was just the initial viewing or two of it when I was really little.
Yeah, then... I guess so. I can see. I mean, I know adults who are scared in that movie, you know?
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I won't name names.
I don't know.
But those raptors particularly are frightening because they stalk.
Yeah, they're
characters.
They think
other monsters are kind of there.
Like, you can, if you're smart enough,
well,
you can get away from them.
Monsters.
Yeah.
I say monsters.
It's just the problem with the raptors is they can think like you. So it's like a person
unless they learn to open doors.
Motherfuck.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm sick of these mother
Samuel Jackson. You know what else freaked me out? That little thing that spit.
Oh, yeah.
In your face.
Yeah, that thing.
Because when it, like, spread out that, I don't know what it is. It's like
the frill.
It's got that thick membrane around its neck that, like, flares out,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
It's like, snake-like. That creeped me out first time I saw it. Yeah, I was like, what was that?
But definitely when I was a kid, I instantly thought the T-Rex was, like, the coolest thing.
Oh, yeah. The T-Rex was just cool. It was, you couldn't really be scared in that scene because the T-Rex was so cool. And I ate the lawyer, so you're like, hooray!
Maybe as an adult, I don't know if the little kid cared about the lawyer too much.
That's actually a joke from the Weird Al song, Jurassic Park.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it's like, there's a line in the Weird Al song where it's like, the T-Rex ate the lawyer, so I guess they're really not all bad. But we should probably stop talking about Jurassic Park at this point and actually talk about the movie we watched, The Lost World, 1925.
1925.
Silent film, although I gotta bring this up, I wish it was really silent because the soundtrack, the score to this film was so obnoxious and so out of place. It's just this happily jangling music. No matter what the scene, you know?
Yeah, if it's, I think a lot of old films have that, where they just kind of picked some songs and played it to them.
Yeah, and it was the same songs over and over and over again. I couldn't stand it.
Somebody fiddling around on a piano.
Yeah, and another person with a violin is just, like, japping at it. Because
improvising, yeah. I mean, like, there's some old films where the music matches, like, Eisenstein's silent films.
Yes.
He's pretty good with that, but...
And like I was saying earlier about, you know, not complex plots, Eisenstein's was a very complex plot. Also, Metamorphosis, and, not Metamorphosis, Metropolis.
Yeah.
Metropolis.
I gotta see that movie.
Oh, it's so good.
If we get that next collection, though.
Oh, yeah, we might end up reviewing that.
Yeah.
I'd love to review that one.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Of, like, all the silent films I've seen, like Nosferatu, Phantom of the Opera, Metropolis, man. That's, like,
good stuff.
The best one. You know, Buster Keaton movies are kind of fun, too.
The music good in that one?
I can't remember, because I think different versions have different scores. I think.
Yeah, I would imagine, because there wasn't any, like, specific soundtrack to a lot of movies way back then.
I think there was my brother-in-law was telling me he went to a theater once where they were playing a silent movie. I think it might have been Metropolis. And there was somebody, now I want to say it was Phantom of the Opera, and it was like around Halloween. But anyways, the point was that there was somebody there playing music live. There was somebody on piano.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
How was it?
Well, I wasn't there. He was. He said it was great.
Yeah, I was looking for his opinion from you.
Right. A little shout out there to you, Eric.
Does he listen?
Yeah, he listens.
Sweet, sweet. Hey, I met you once.
He remembers you.
Everybody better remember me.
Damn. You're a hard man to forget, Lucas. That's one of the reasons why.
Now, how would you have scored this, Dave?
Well, I have to admit, it doesn't hold up very well today. And I'm actually only going to give it 2.3 monkey men.
You did, yeah. Doing the ratings early there, huh?
You just asked me.
I said, that's not what I asked. I meant, like, how would you score it musically?
Oh, my gosh. I'm sorry. This is why we pre-record. How would I score it? I don't know. I've never thought about scoring a movie before, Lucas. I guess...
Yes, you have.
As long as
the ones we've made.
Little videos we've made, I've thought of, like, songs to put in there in the soundtrack. You know what I mean? Like, rock songs and stuff for little videos we've made.
Uh-huh.
But it's, like, an actual orchestral score. And for a silent movie, that's even more difficult to think about.
That'd be an interesting project.
The music sort of was, like, it had to be there, like, constantly because it was trying to provide... Otherwise, it would be completely silent, you know?
That'd be an interesting project. Be like, take the video, try to score it.
Yeah. I definitely wouldn't want to use any modern, like, musical technology to score it. If it's an old movie, it should have, like, a score that fits. You know, it's time, you know?
Of course.
I've seen some really bad scores.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
there was that movie. It was actually, I only saw a scene of it, so I haven't seen this whole movie, but Footloose, the entire film is like pretty much scored with like dance music, and some of the scenes are like they're on a farm and stuff. So I saw this scene. It was like they're having a driving two tractors.
Oh, the chicken.
Like playing chicken.
Yeah.
And it's this hyperactive electro dance music. It seems so out of place to me, for it's like tractors about to crash into each other.
I wonder how they handled that in the remake.
I don't know. I don't care. Yeah. I don't never want to see that movie.
Wait.
And again, the last movie I just watched was The Magnificent Seven, and that had this completely bombastic orchestral score. It felt really out of place. It felt like it should have a more subdued and subtler score. You know, probably just like something like on guitar or something. Guitar or some like traditional Mexican American music.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, harmonica. But it just had this dun 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 dun, you know, and I'm like, it's a bit much. Good movie.
Yeah.
That was my only like complaint about it.
Uh-huh. It's making me want to watch I forgot the name already. Once Upon a Time in the West.
Oh yeah. That's one of my favorite films.
Good score.
Actually, I think it might be my favorite film.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I sit there and watch it. I'm just like, every second, I'm just like absorbing it.
Yeah. I felt that way when Pear first showed it in class.
The movie's amazing.
It's like, this movie's shot. Like,
I really love the Sergio Leone. I may not be pronouncing his name correctly, but I've always sort of said Sergio Leone. Or perhaps it could be Sergio Leone. But
Sergei Leone.
Anyways, however his name's pronounced, he's like my favorite director. I love his movies. Once Upon a Time in the West, Once Upon a Time in America, The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, Fistful of All. There's lots of texture to those films. You know, you feel the environment.
Yeah.
Wow. This episode sort of turned into like a talk just about movies. This feels like what we would usually reserve for our No U-Turns Presents. We gotta do another one of those.
Yeah, that'd be kind of fun. Yeah, it's just in this movie just didn't have a lot to talk about. It was what it was.
Yeah, I mean,
and it wasn't like
limited by the technology of its time,
and it wasn't like it wasn't horrible. Flawed like the other movies.
There was the
seen.
Monkey Man.
Yeah, that was kind of funny because he just kept showing up and.
You thought just messing around with stuff.
Yeah, something greater would happen with him, and he had like a chimp sidekick, and then all he did was mess with a rope ladder, and then he got shot and killed.
I was so happy when they shot him too, because it was just like, why are you there?
Go away.
Go away, monkey man. No one wants you. Oh yeah, and then of course, you know, a little. There's a guy in blackface.
Oh yeah, that was. When I first saw that, I was like, wait a minute, is that a guy in blackface? And you were like, what? I was like, oh, I don't know. And then I waited for him to come by again. I just couldn't tell at first if it was just he was dirty and he had in the quality of the film was making him look that way. And then it's like, yeah, he's in blackface. And when they started having him speak in the title cards.
I won't do an impersonation of that.
There's no doubt about the racism in that.
Like I said, for its time.
And during that fight.
They did all right. I mean, fantastic work with the claymation. Dinosaurs.
Yeah, back then.
Very expressive.
Back then, it was probably amazing.
There was something about on Wikipedia for this movie about Arthur Conan Doyle showing some of the scenes with the stop motion dinosaurs to an audience of magicians,
uh-huh.
including Harry Houdini. And they were all like, whoa, that's cool.
How'd you do that? Yeah, but if it was alive back then, I'd find it pretty awesome.
Yeah, heck, I would have loved to have been in that room with all the magicians and Arthur Conan Doyle and Harry Houdini right there, you know? That would have been awesome. So I've rated this movie, Lucas. What do you give it?
Oh, man. This is really tough because I really don't know why, but I feel like that I kind of liked this movie, even though it was, like, really boring.
Hmm.
I don't know what it is. I don't know if there's, like, some sort of, like, appreciation.
Yeah, I'm kind of harsh on films if they bore me. It's like... Regardless of anything else, if it bores me, I've got to send it down.
I don't know. I don't know, maybe it's because I'm, like, for some reason I'm starting to gain a greater appreciation for stuff that I might have found boring as a younger person.
Well, totally, kind
of, yeah. It's like, oh, and I can really, you know, maybe it's the appreciation of the, you know, just kind of how it was kind of a groundbreaking thing at the time. So it was like, you know, I don't know. I'll give it a, oh man, I'll go to 4. Why not?
4 what?
Oh, 4 drowning dinosaurs out of 5.
It's like, man, I think that Brontosaurus would have not drowned in the Thames, but like kind of swam out.
He looked like he was swimming, but then turned into a submarine.
Down periscope.
That's where Nessie came from.
Oh, yeah. he somehow
made it to Loch Ness.
I know. Swam through the lock there. If it was around then, I don't even know. Okay. So, should I tell the audience what we're reviewing next week, David?
Oh, I'm so excited. What'll it be?
Oh, dear. Oh, dear. Let me make sure I'm looking at the right thing. All right. Menace from Outer Space, 1956. Yes, it's a 1956 black and white movie. Rocky Jones, illustrious captain in the space.
Oh God.
Space Rangers.
I've seen this MST3K. I'm sure of it.
Uh-oh.
Rocky Jones, yes. Oh.
Well,
oh, this is going to be painful, Lucas.
Uh-oh.
The guy has a sidekick named Winky.
Winky?
Winky.
Well, he's a captain in the Space Rangers. But
and Winky. His name's Winky. He talks a lot about all the women he gets.
And his name
it's
is...
like, your name is Winky. But we'll rant about that next week.
Should I finish the description?
Sure, go ahead. I think I've said everything that our audience needs to know.
Well,
there's
he might...
a guy named Winky.
Yes. Anyway, Rocky Jones must try to save Earth from certain destruction by what appears to be a fast-approaching comet. Earth, you've got to stop getting in trouble. After the comet crashes, it is discovered to be a crystalline...
Yeah, the Earth needs to learn to duck. Once
a crystalline missile launched from a moon of Jupiter. Rocky and his crew must set out on a dangerous trip to this mysterious rune and discover who launched the missile. Is it the Space Council?
No.
Oh, man, I want Starman to show up in this film.
Even crazier.
I know. Just have a fight with Rocky Jones.
Just guns him down.
Oh, man, I cannot wait for the next Starman movie.
Oh, looking forward to it.
I'll be sad when it's all over.
Yeah.
We'll have to hunt down the one that we didn't get to see.
Yeah.
So, I guess that wraps it up largely for this week. We would just like to let the audience know that you can find us and other podcasts at psychojellyfish.com. If you have any emails you'd like to send, please send them to email@psychojellyfish.com. You can also find us at Twitter on Jellycast and Facebook at facebook.com/psychojellyfish.
Talk to us!
We want your input! Everything! Tell us how much you love us.
Tell us how you feel. That's what you think.
Tell us how you breathe.
Well, gentle listener.
It's been a fun ride. We'll catch you next week.
Good night.